Who's going to come and read for us in Matthew chapter 1?
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Well, in our first Christmas carol we're going to sing in a moment, it talks of something of that, a good news that has come into the world, a world of sin and sorrows, it calls it, a world where there's a curse, where there's thorns and all the rest of it. And yet into this world of darkness and sorrow comes blessing, comes God's Son, as all of those things are changed around. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Can you guess what carol it is? It's a joy to the world, for the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. But it finishes off, he rules the world with truth and grace. That's the good news we've come to celebrate. So we're going to sing our first carol, three verses of Joy to the World. The Lord is come. And we'll stand and sing. Second reading, and Mark's going to come and read for us.
All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
In that last reading, we heard of a special name, two special names. The child was given both that name, Jesus, but also Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the mystery and the miracle of Christmas, isn't it? That God chose to be with us. That God himself would come and become a man. And we're going to sing in our next carol something of that wonder of God becoming a man, so that he could be our saviour. At the end of one of the verses it says, he's born the King of angels. And then in the second verse, it tells us, has a whole list of things about this baby who was born. The one who's begotten, not created. The one who's always existed, that's what it means. He's always been there. He's the eternal one, the Son of God. God of God, light of light, very God. He couldn't be any more God than he is. He's the Son of God, and yet became man. And he didn't mind. It says in this carol, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. That's pretty old-fashioned language. But it's saying he didn't mind. Didn't mind to come and be part of our human race. He didn't mind even for God himself to become a tiny little fetus living in his mother's womb. He didn't mind it. He came. He came to be our saviour, Emmanuel, God with us. So we're going to sing. Those lines all came from a famous carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. We're just going to sing two verses of this carol. And then Carol's going to come and give us our next reading.
Isaiah 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Thanks, Carol. In a previous reading, before that one, we read of Joseph being told that they would call the child Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that takes us back then to the Old Testament, to that reading that Carol just read of Isaiah, who tells us all of those wonderful promises of this coming Emmanuel. And in our next carol, it takes us back to that old time there in the oldest part of the Bible, when people were longing one day that those promises would finally come true, for the coming of Emmanuel, and for Israel there in captivity, in exile. They were prisoners, they were taken out of their own country, they were mourning. And it talks about those things in our next carol. Waiting until the Son of God would appear and ransom them. And so the next carol we're going to sing in a moment is O Come, Emmanuel. And it looks at some of those old promises in the Bible as people waited for that very first Christmas. And maybe something in its rather minor, haunting tune reminds us something of perhaps our own need. Maybe sometimes we too can be mourning. Maybe sometimes because of troubles in our lives, but also perhaps that awareness that we need rescue ourselves. Mourning because of we feel guilty, because we know we've done wrong things, because we know we need help. Well, we read in the Bible in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus appeared in order to take away sins. That's the message of Christmas. That's why he came, to forgive us our sins. In another verse of this same carol, it talks about perhaps our longing for a heavenly home one day. One day to go and be in heaven. And yet it also reminds us of a path of misery. And maybe that's where we feel we are. And feel we'd love to go to heaven, but we don't know how to get there. Well, in this carol it reads that the one who opens wide our heavenly home and makes safe the way that leads on high and closes the path to misery. And in this carol it refers to the Emmanuel, Jesus coming as the key of David, another strange prophecy in the Old Testament in Isaiah 22, where it reads, he shall be the father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. And God says, I will place on his shoulder the key of David. He shall open and none shall shut. And Jesus, when he was alive, said the same sort of thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who can take us safe to our heavenly home, who can close that path to misery, the one who can rescue us from sin and death and everything that's against us. Well, we're going to sing our next carol, O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to sing two verses of that, and then Elliot's got the next reading.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register.
So Judas also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was blessed to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
In our next carol, it tells us something of that good news we've been thinking of. It's one we don't sing an awful lot here at Ashbourne Baptist Church, at least. It begins, "God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay." And for starters, it is a bit odd. It's a bit old-fashioned, a bit Victorian, perhaps, in its beginning. God rest, be content, trust in God, you merry gentlemen. Well, it's telling us of a contentment that can be found, not just for the gentleman, but for anyone. That there's nothing to dismay, nothing to get us down. And in this carol, it has one phrase that's probably one of the best phrases in any carol of why Jesus came: to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. It's probably one of the best phrases in any of our carols at that point. That's why Jesus came, to save us, all of us, any who would want to be saved from Satan's power. In another reading in 1 John, a letter that John the disciple wrote much later on, he wrote, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." That's why Jesus came, to crush Satan's head, to rescue us from Satan's power when we had gone astray. And again, it reminds us there in the Bible that that's what we've done. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has gone their own way. That's us. And yet Jesus came to rescue us, to forgive us, and to bring us home safe. And so those merry gentlemen are told to remember Christ our Saviour, who was born on Christmas Day. And that's what we've come to do, isn't it? To remember the one who's been born. And so the carol carries on with its little chorus, "O tidings of comfort and joy." That's the good news we find in our Christmas carols. Tidings, news that can bring every one of us comfort and joy. Well, we're going to sing another one of our carols, "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen." We're just going to sing two verses of it, and then Felicity's going to come and read our next reading for us. Thank you for those tidings of comfort and joy, that good news that we can learn this Christmas. And Lord, we come to you as people in need of good news. We live in a world where we're so often confronted by the opposite, by bad news. And Lord, we do want to pray for those situations in the world where bad news has been occurring, where people have lost their lives in this attack in Australia a week ago, in the war zones of Gaza and Israel and the Ukraine. Lord, we know there's so many people who are suffering, so many people who've lost loved ones, lost homes. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. We pray for any in our own land, Lord, and going through tough times. We pray for any here this evening, perhaps who are facing bad news of one sort or another. And Lord, in those times of great need, Lord, we look to you. And we pray that you would bring us that comfort and joy that we can find in the Christmas message. And Lord, we pray that you'd speak to each one of us, whether we're regular churchgoers or whether it's our first time here this evening, whatever. Lord, we pray that we might discover something of that good news that we can find in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that he came to save us through Satan's power when we had gone astray. And so, Lord, as those who've gone astray, we come and ask for your forgiveness. And we pray that you might bless us. We pray you might open each and every person's eyes, mind here this evening, Lord, to receive something of that good news that we find in your word and in our Christmas carols. Lord, that you might bless us, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Felicity's going to carry on with our next Bible reading.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
In that reading there in the Bible, we heard of those angels who came and came to proclaim the Messiah's birth. That's a line from our next carol we're going to sing. The Saviour who's been born, and the shepherds were told, they were the first ones to be made aware of it, of this good news that would bring great joy for all people. A Saviour has been born in the town of Bethlehem. And that's why he came, to save us. In the last verse that we're singing of this carol, it tells us of sinners wrung with true repentance, doomed for guilt to endless pains. Well, that's pretty bad news, isn't it? That's telling us the situation we're in because of the wrong things we've done. We're sinners. We're guilty. Doomed. Facing pains. Facing destruction, facing hell. And yet that's why Jesus came. That's why we need a Saviour. It tells us in that verse, justice now revokes the sentence. Mercy calls you, break your chains. And so as we respond in repentance, as we come and say sorry, as we come and confess our sins to God, there's this mercy and this justice that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour who'd been born, as we think of at Christmas, and the work he completed that we think of at Easter, of how there he died and gave us justice and mercy, and he took our sins so that we might be forgiven. And that's why the angels came singing that first Christmas time. That's why those angels came, to proclaim the Messiah's birth. That's the good news we can discover in this carol. We're going to sing three verses of Angels from the Realms of Glory. Wing your flight over all the earth.
Angels from the realms of glory.
Well, in these carols and in these readings that we've been hearing of, we've heard of a message that's come. A message that Mary heard. A message that Joseph heard. A message that some shepherds heard. And that's what the Bible tells us. In that passage earlier on, we heard in Isaiah, it said, "Of to us a child is born, to us a son is given." But maybe in some of those things, it just becomes a little impersonal. That this was good news for Mary and Joseph and some shepherds. But actually, the carols remind us too that it's good news for each one of us. In our next carol, we're going to sing "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly." It finishes with this line at the end of the first verse: "Christ the Babe is Lord of all." As we've been thinking of God Himself, who became human flesh, who became a baby. Christ the Babe is Lord of all. But it says at the end of the second verse, "Christ the Babe is born for you." And we were thinking the same this morning of that message for Mary is one that's a message for us. It's for you. For each one of us. That Christ has been born to be a saviour for me and for you. It's personal news. It's really good news, not just that was spoken of long ago to people long dead, like Mary and Joseph and the rest, but it's good news for me and you here this evening. For Christ the Babe is born for you. We're going to sing two verses on the next carol: "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, for His Bed a Cattle Stall." And Tim's going to come and read for us our next reading. Dear Lord God, we do thank you that Christ the Babe was born for us, each one of us personally, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, we thank you that we come as individuals. Lord, we pray that we might come in love and trust to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born, the one who lived, the one who died and rose again for us. We thank you for him. And we pray that you might give us that gift of faith to believe, to come and repent, as we were singing earlier, to come and receive that mercy and that grace that you give. So bless us, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to Tim, who's going to carry on our reading of the next little bit of the shepherds, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15.
Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
There at the end of that reading, we have something of that joy that can be found at Christmas. There were some shepherds out in the fields, and they heard this message from the angels, and they went. It might have seemed like a wild goose chase to go knocking on the doors in Bethlehem to try and find a baby. How many irritated mums and dads were there who had a knock on the door for some dirty shepherds were there asking if they'd had a baby? And they had to find one who was lying in a manger. That's how they knew they'd found the right one. And when they saw it, saw all of these things which were just as they'd been told by the angels, they were filled with joy and went and told everyone else. They spread that good news. And there is such good news to share, isn't there, this Christmas time? Maybe if we, like the shepherds, have discovered who that is lying in a manger, then we feel, perhaps just like the shepherds, compelled to tell others too. And in our next song it tells us, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell people that Jesus Christ is born. And that's what the shepherds did. Went on their way, rejoicing, telling everyone they could find. For it was good news that wasn't just for them, but for everyone. As we read elsewhere in the Bible, how will they call on him who they've not believed? And how will they believe on him if whom they've never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And the shepherds came into that category, didn't they? With their beautiful feet, scampering through Bethlehem, telling everyone that good news. We're going to sing two verses of Go Tell It on the Mountain, Over the Hills and Everywhere. Finish there with the story of the shepherds, and Anne's going to come and read for us the next little part of the visit of the wise men from Matthew chapter 2.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel.
In our next carol, and there in our reading too, we heard of the visit of the wise men who went to the wrong place. They gathered from the stars in the sky, and one in particular, that a king had been born in the land of Judea. So of course they went to the capital city, and of course they went to the palace. That was the logical thing to do, but it wasn't the right thing to do. And they inquired there about whether a baby had been born, much to the consternation of Herod. But Herod asked the experts, where's the Messiah going to be born? They knew it straight away. In Bethlehem, in that little town. A little town of Bethlehem. And as it suggested there in that quote, it was least amongst the tribes and the clans of Judah. It was a small little place, nothing important at all. How still we see thee lie, says our carol. And we think of Christmas with all its excitement, with all its twinkly lights. But at that first Christmas, a lot of it was fairly ordinary. For Mary and Joseph, there was a journey back to their hometown because they had to pay taxes. That was the driving force on moving them there to Bethlehem. And then it was just an ordinary day in Bethlehem. We think of it as Christmas Day. But for them it was probably just Thursday or whatever day it was. It was just an ordinary day. And then in this little town of Bethlehem, God did something extraordinary and brought that out of the ordinary. As it tells in the Bible, God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised and the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no one may boast. And that's what God does. He chose a little town of Bethlehem. Not very important. He chose two ordinary peasants, Mary and Joseph. He chose some shepherds to come and visit them. He chose some wise men to travel, foreigners from afar. God chooses the weak things, the foolish things. And there's good news for us, isn't there? Because that's probably what we are. Just ordinary folk, no one special. And yet that's who God's news is, good news is for. Tells us in one of the verses, in the dark street shining, the everlasting light comes. Jesus, the light of the world. And for those who want it, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's what's going on in the little town of Bethlehem. An ordinary place, yes, but something extraordinary is happening. Every hope, every fear that people have are fulfilled in Jesus and in his coming that night. We're told how silently the ordinary things that happened as a baby was born in the ordinary way there and laid in a manger. But a wondrous gift was given. So we're going to sing our next carol, three verses of our little town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Joe's going to come and read for us. Last of our readings, follow up on the story of the wise men.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, we've thought of the good news that people discovered in the Christmas story and the good news we can find in our Christmas carols. And we've just heard it there in that reading that Joe gave for us of the wise men. They went, as he said, the wrong place to start with, to Herod's palace. And then they were redirected on the way to Bethlehem. And we read that as they came from Herod, they saw the star again. And they were filled with joy. They were filled with joy to see that the star, to know exactly where they should go. They hurried on their way then to Bethlehem. And with the help of the star to guide them, they found the place where the child was. Again, they were there. Unexpected visitors for Mary and Joseph, a knock on the door. And in came this group of magi, however many there were. They burst in with their gifts, precious gifts, royal gifts. And they bowed on the floor in front of this baby. Isn't that startling? When you cuddle babies, you pass them a dummy. That's what we do with babies. You don't often bow down on the floor in front of them. But that's what these wise men did. They knew who it was. This is the one they'd made all this journey for. They were overjoyed to see the star. They were even more overjoyed to find the child. And to bow down and worship the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So in our next carol, we read of that gladness with which they saw the star. With joy they hailed its light, leading onwards, beaming bright. And maybe it's something that we can join in with as we discover the good news of Christmas. Maybe there'll be joy this year like we've never known before. Not just in the things, in the presents, in the Christmas dinner or whatever it is, but joy in realising who Jesus is. And as with joyful steps they sped, Saviour, to thy lowly bed, so may meet we with willing feet. It finishes, ever seek thy mercy seat. They bowed in front of Jesus, but we do too, at least metaphorically. We come and seek him who can give us mercy, who can give us forgiveness. And so just like those wise men, we can discover joy this Christmas. We could sing three verses of, "As with gladness, men of old, did the guardian star behold." Well done. You've managed 9 carols. One more to go. One more to go to finish off. A lot of our carols, just like that one we did sing, and the one just to come, help us think not just of looking back to Christmas, but looking forwards too. We're waiting for Christmas. Here we are on Sunday. Maybe the children have been counting down the days in the Advent calendar. Maybe it says, as you open the door, how many sleeps there are to Christmas. Well, actually, at Christmas time, we look back, don't we? We look back to once in Royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed. We know these stories. We've heard them before. We look back to that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world to save sinners. But as we wait for Christmas Day, we're not actually waiting for a baby again, are we? He came and he lived and he died on a cross and he rose again, and now he's there in glory. And so actually we're waiting for Jesus, not the baby, but for Jesus to come again a second time as the King. Job said in the oldest part of the Bible, "In my flesh I know I shall see God." And one day we will too. John tells us at the other end of the Bible, "When he appears, we shall be made like him, and we shall see him as he is." And so if some of our Christmas carols take us back, like this one does, to that lowly cattle shed, but sometimes in the last verses they take us forward too, as this carol finishes. Not in that poor, lowly stable with the oxen standing by. We shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. As we think of waiting for Christmas, what about waiting for Jesus to come again? Coming not as a baby, but we shall see him. The Bible tells us coming on the clouds, God's right hand on high. Jesus, the King of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords, we will see him coming. We weren't there to see him in the first place when he came as a baby, but we'll all, everyone, no matter when we've lived, we'll all see him coming again. And so our carols not only take us back, but take us forward to think of Jesus coming again. And if we know Jesus as our Saviour, then there's nothing to be frightened of in the future, whatever the future may hold. Whether we die and go to be with him in heaven, or whether we see him, we're alive when we see him coming back, we know we're safe in his hands. And we can pray like John the disciple does, "Amen, come Lord Jesus, come." That's what we're thinking of at Christmas, the first coming of Jesus. But we're longing again for his return, the second coming of Jesus. And if we discover that good news, if we know what it is to have joy, to know that Jesus is the one who's come to forgive our sins, to free us from death, to rescue us from Satan, then we look forward to Jesus coming again. One last carol to finish us off. It begins in that lowly cattle shed, but finishes looking forward to seeing Jesus come again. Let's stand and sing 3 verses of Once in Royal David's City to finish off. and thanks to the readers who've come up here in the dark to read. Thank you to our musicians who've led us in singing these carols. In a moment we've got refreshments, we'll get a few more lights on, then we'll bring refreshments round, drinks can be served. After that we'll enjoy some time together as well. Well, let's just close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we do thank you for the good news in our Christmas carols. We thank you that we have so much to celebrate as we think back to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we each might discover that good news, that hope that can be found in him. And Lord, we pray that as we trust in him, that you might help us in the situations we're facing at the moment. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to look forward even into a future with so many things we don't know, but knowing with confidence the one who loves and cares for us, and that one day we will see him at the Father's hand on high. And so, Lord, bless us this Christmas time. Lord, may you help us to discover that good news of Emmanuel, God with us, the Saviour whom you sent. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.